Okay, call the meeting to order. Will we stand for the pledge, please?
Go home and pay.
Will Kelly lead us in a pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Before we go into our regular business, Kimberly Davis is here, our county treasurer, and we've been discussing a land bank for the last 3-4 months now anyways. So she's here to make a presentation to the board, and I guess everybody that's here wants to listen in on it. So I'm gonna give her the floor.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, my back is everybody else, right, back and forth. So really quick, I'm gonna try to run through this as quickly as possible because it's a lot of information. I want to give you enough time to have questions and then of course get to your regular part of the meeting. Basically, what's a land bank, why are we looking at it, and how is it hopefully going to help your municipality? Land banks were created back in 2010 as a result of the state suing banks for being really bad in the mortgage crisis. And the AG got, you know, a huge settlement in millions of dollars, and they wanted to use that to help people improve the housing stock in New York State. In the beginning, they had 10 pilot, in a sense, land banks. They did very well, and they filled up. A few years later, they allowed for 10 more. Those filled up. 2 years ago, they allowed for 5 more. Those filled up. And last year, they allowed for another 10. They've been highly successful and are actually a model for land banks throughout the country. So why do we need one here in Clinton County? Unfortunately, I use you guys as an example all the time because of the former funeral homes. In that year, the county makes the towns whole when it comes to tax time. So if you have to re-levy something like that bill, that was $155,000 that was re-levied onto that person's bill, of course they're going to walk away and the county's left with that bill. If it were an occasional instance, that would be one thing, but that year, in addition to that bill, we had two other towns that had houses that burnt, were an immediate danger to life and health. They were demolished. We also had a gas station that was an environmental hazard. So we had 4 properties that we had to make whole on and lost between $300,000 and $400,000. And this is not an occasional occurrence. So it came to the point where we said, we can't do this anymore. There also were towns that were re-levying who had maybe bigger status, garbage removal, property maintenance. You know, why should the residents of Moores have to pay for someone mowing lawn in the town of Plattsburgh? 2 years ago, it came to a head in the village of Champlain. There's a 5,000 square foot brick building full of asbestos. It was headed to foreclosure, and I got a call saying, by the way, when you take this, you need to tear it down. We can't keep doing this. So no longer are we allowing municipalities to re-levy these costs onto the tax bill. But we also don't want you to be bankrupt having to deal with these issues. So the solution that we feel is a land bank. So land banks have certain superpowers that municipalities don't, and they also don't have, for example, eminent domain powers. That was a concern a lot of people had. They cannot go and take somebody's property. Only governments can do that. So there are 2 things that I wanted to make sure that if we created a land bank, we were going to be financially sustainable without having to rely on state aid. One of the issues that I see on a regular basis, forgetting about the demolition issue, is when we do foreclosure, we get what we call repeat offenders. If you think about the 2 yellow buildings in Dannemora, we foreclosed on them multiple times. And a land bank has a superpower that if they get a property, they are actually allowed to vet the people who buy it. We have to take the person who gives us the highest amount of money. So if Jeff comes, he says, hey, I'll pay you $50,000 for those buildings. Great, here you go. We don't know if he has any experience whatsoever in rehabbing buildings. And that's actually what happened the last time that we foreclosed on those 2 properties. We actually had a kid drive up from Long Island that day, had never seen the properties, couldn't understand why he was getting them for $1,100 each He had never visited them, didn't know they were condemned, what shape they were in. They were across from the jail. He knew nothing about them. So that's also another problem. So what we decided to do is come up with a financial model where all of the municipalities who sign on, and this is voluntary, each contribute a portion, county contributes a portion, so they're not, we're not always waiting for the state to come in with some aid. The AG's office does give out, last November actually, they gave out about $20 million to the land banks within New York State, and then also land banks can apply for grants just like any municipality. There is a misconception that grants are very easy to get. We tried multiple times with those yellow buildings in Dannemora. We got hammered in the newspaper. Why aren't you taking those down? Just apply for a grant. You can only get grants really for economic development, which, sorry for Dannemora, but who's going to want to put a business right there? There are very few businesses, you know, that would want to move there. Or affordable or senior housing. And we unofficially got from Habitat for Humanity a hell no for putting something there. So we want to make sure that we're self-sustaining. So the model that you have in front of you was the first model that we came up with. And what it is it's based on the sales tax that we share with you. Not all counties do share their sales tax, so we figured it would be a fair way percentage-wise that everyone would get taxed at the same rate to fund the land bank. So to make sure it's not a burden on your budget, to ease you into it, for example, the first 2 years, it would be 1/4 of 1% of the sales tax we share with you. So in years 1 and 2, based on last year's sales tax, you would pay in $1,322.26. In years 3 and later, it's 0.5%, and that would be the most that you would contribute. The county would take, you know, in a sense, we occasionally get criticized that we are profiting off of the foreclosure auction. We are not allowed by state law to give owners, if they have any equity, that money back. So this also deals with that issue. So the county budgets $300,000 a year in proceeds from the auction. And I had the county administrator agree to cap it there. And in the first model, we said anything over $300,000, capped at $400,000, would go into the land bank. So for example, in 2017, our proceeds were $379,000. $79,000 would go into the land bank, this our portion. So that was the first model. I went out and did presentations like I'm doing tonight to various town boards and got some feedback, both positive and negative. We only had about 5 municipalities sign on. So I went back and I said, okay, let me look at this again. And what I came up with was actually a 30-year plan. So if you look at the alternate land bank model and flip to the pages where the money is, this addressed a couple of issues. It's actually now 2 pools of money, demolition and rehab. There's a lot of properties that we get foreclosure that, again, if Jeff comes and he's a speculator, doesn't know what he's doing, the land bank can now, like I said, vet the people. And if you don't do what you promised you're going to do in a year or whatever time they put into the contract, there's a clawback provision. We actually get the property back and you're out your money. We want to make sure that people are taking care of their property and not being absentee landlords, which we frequently see at the foreclosure auction. So what we decided to do is actually take the auction proceeds, and so it's not hurting our budget a ton, decrease the amount that we budget every year by $10,000. So if you look at that first set of figures, RF means rehab fund, DF means demolition fund. All the municipalities that sign on, and right now we're up to 7, their money will go into the demo fund. The county's money will go into the rehab fund. So if you sign on, you actually can choose which pool of money you want to use. And I'll get into basically how it works. So for any of the towns that sign on from the beginning, you put your money in, we put our money in. Okay, that's a minute. That's fine. There will be, we will ask each town that participates, to submit your three worst properties that you want to...
Turn it harder.
Probably just gonna slow them down a little bit.
Oh, whatever.
That might work.
So basically, you would give the land bank your wish list of three worst properties and wars that you would either want demolition or rehabbed. And the board of the land bank will take, obviously, the worst cases first, anything that would be declared immediate danger to life and health. But as you can see, if you flip to the last page of this, you'll see, and this is of course only revenue, not expenses, but over the next 30 years without any state aid, the rehab fund will have about $3 million in it and the demolition fund about $4.8 million. The reason we created the two is somebody pointed out very smartly that you don't make any money off of demolition. If it costs $40,000 to demolish a building, that lot might now only fetch $1,000 or $2,000 at auction. Rehabbing, most of the time you're going to make money off of it. So we wanted to make sure that the demolition fund was well funded for any major cases like, you know, the old funeral. So again, each of the towns gets to submit properties that they want worked on. Where do those properties come from? How do you create that list? If you ask your assessor, they're gonna have a very different definition of what a zombie property is than I do. And this is what makes or breaks a application in front of the state who approves your land bank. They want to see that you have a good supply, bad words, but a good supply of zombie properties. So in this case, what they are looking for is any property in your town that's vacant. Now, I don't mean somebody moved 2 months ago and their house is for sale, but you know somebody hasn't lived there in 5 years, 10 years. You know, every town has those. Any empty storefronts, any former gas stations that nobody, you know, is there anymore. Any building that's dilapidated, none of these have to be in foreclosure, by the way. Anything that could cause you a financial liability if I refuse to foreclose on it and it's now going to be your problem. As another example, I was an administrator of an estate on Pepper Hill Road. If somebody stopped paying taxes on that, and you had to kind of take it over because we refused to, it had, and my apologies for anyone related to the person, but it had abandoned cars, trucks, boats, campers. It would have been a nightmare for you to take care of that. That is a property that you could put, you know, on your wish list to take care of. So it's also a good exercise for you to know what zombie properties are in your municipality. Jeff, you were at the meeting in January. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked the mayor of the city, how many dilapidated properties or zombie properties do you think you have? And he said 4. Well, a couple weeks later, he did it, got 15. I sat down with the Champlain assessor. I said, how many do you think you're gonna find? He said, at most 25. They gave me their list, they got 57. So I'm sure everyone in this room can think of a property in this town that would fit on that list. So there's a couple of things that we're looking for. One is a non-binding resolution, just that you are supporting the creation of Clinton County Land Bank. The legislature will actually vote on this tomorrow. It actually has been approved in the Finance Committee, but this is step one. The application is a beast, so there will be a committee to write the bylaws. It was a good point of reference that one of the supervisors said, why should we sign on if we don't know what the rules are? So that's why the non-binding resolution. So we have 7 people that will be on that bylaw committee representing the county. There'll be myself representing the county, 2 legislators, 3 supervisors, and one of the village mayors creating the first draft of those bylaws. After that, and I just so you know how the land bank is formed, it is not a government agency, it's not a not-for-profit, it's a quasi-mixture of the two. So for example, like I said, It's not, it cannot do eminent domain. It has like a superpower of vetting investors and buyers. It can hold property if it deems it might be advantageous to do so. So if you had three pieces of property and the land bank owned the two on either side and thought this one was going to come up for sale, it can hold these two and wait for that third one. The reason that's important is it kills me that those two yellow buildings in Dannemora, we as the county pay taxes on those. Why? Because after 3 years of municipality owning a piece of property, if you're not using it for municipal purposes, you have to pay taxes on it. Land bank does not have to. They can hold anything in perpetuity. And again, this doesn't make us rely on grants from the state. So, a couple of questions that have come up, so hopefully I can get those before you have to ask them. Anyone who comes in, the board of directors is made up anywhere from 5 to 15 people. The legislature chooses those 5 to 15. However, the good thing is those people have to be either elected officials from a municipality or a department head of a municipality. So if you guys, for example, were in the first group of municipalities to sign on, what we are suggesting to the legislature is that everyone who's on in the beginning gets a seat at the table, gets a seat on the board of directors. If we ever go past the amount that we're allotted, we would probably have to break the county up into regions and say, okay, maybe Champlain and Moores is one area, and Ellenburg and Dannemora and Churubusco, Clinton is another. But right now, the fact that we're allowed 15 seats, that shouldn't be a problem, because we certainly know not everyone is going to join us. I'm 99% sure the city of Plattsburgh is not going to join us because they wanted their own rules, but that's another story. So what happens if you want to take the wait-and-see approach? What we've discussed is that, let's say you want to come in year three. You can, but you would have to pay in what you would have been paying all along. So if someone waits until year seven, that's might be a big chunk of money. We certainly will kind of do it in payments and installments, but you wouldn't be able to get a project worked on until you caught up to where you should be. To keep people in, to keep municipalities in and not fleeing, let's say Moores comes in, you get your first project, let's say it costs $50,000, it's year one, you've paid in $1,322. There will be in the bylaws an amount, whether it's 20-25%, that until you reach that threshold of input, that you can't leave. It would never certainly be, we expect anyone to pay completely, then it wouldn't be advantageous to do this. But it certainly has to be that everyone's paying in a fair amount and staying in. Just so you know, board members would have term limits to make sure, and then that way too, if someone is an elected official and is no longer, they would have to be replaced. That was another question we had. And then eventually, if you look at this, at the end of the 30 years, there would be no more auction. All of the properties that the county foreclosed on would go directly into the land bank. And in a sense, it's a good thing, because there are some properties every year that we do very well on, and that money, in a sense, gets to stay in the land bank. So anytime a property is sold that the land bank owns, money goes back into the land bank to replenish it for the next project. That's it in a nutshell. Questions?
Do you have any examples of areas where the land banks have worked that you can maybe give us a website to go to take a look and see what?
There's a whole map. I will send that to Jeff. Like I said, there are currently 25 in existence. The only entities that can form land banks are foreclosing government units. So basically, it's cities and counties. You actually can get multiple counties in. There are two multi-county land banks in the state, Mohawk Valley and Hudson Valley. There was a group that works in Clinton, Essex, and Franklin that wanted us to form a three-county land bank. And I said, if I can't get 17 municipalities to agree, how do you think I'm going to get three counties worth to agree? Yeah. But I said, one thing at a time. So, yes, I will get that for you.
There was the night that I went to the meeting, there was one from down by Albany that...
Yes, so I gave you also a copy of the Albany County Land Bank bylaws. On there, you'll see a couple of handwritten notes that I put in there. Albany County obviously is much larger than we are. There are about 130-something thousand parcels. We're at 33 or 35,000 parcels. Some rules have changed since they formed, so some of that won't apply. But you'll see, if I put a question mark, we may not need that. You know, we're not that large, but there's certainly notes. There's also a New York State Land Bank Association, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. They are very open and transparent. They share their documents freely. The bylaws or resolutions for forming all of these things, they're already done. They share them. Don't redo the work. Here it is. So they've been an excellent resource. So I certainly can also give you the numbers of the directors of the people I've been speaking with, certainly any growing pains that they have. But like I said, there's, and I have lots of articles. If you'd like to read them, I can send those as well. But it really has been a really successful program thus far in New York State.
I know the gentleman that came down from there tonight, I think he said they were doing very well with theirs, very well.
Yeah.
They're really happy with it.
So again, the two things that we'd be looking for from you is a non-binding resolution. Again, it doesn't hold you to anything. It says that you support the creation of. And then second, asking your, if you have one code enforcement officer and or assessor, to start a list of these properties that are both vacant or abandoned, but also if you got stuck with them, that would be a financial drain to you. And if they want to call me asking for more detail, I'd be more than happy to give detail on what we're looking at.
Okay.
So one of the things you need a resolution that we're supporting?
Just supporting the creation of the Clinton County Land Bank.
Now, they need that for tomorrow? They
don't need it, but I mean, some boards, when I've done presentations, they've right then and there passed one. If you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. It's not going to preclude us from them voting on it tomorrow. Just so you know who the other municipalities are, we have the, these are people who have already passed a non-binding resolution, is the Village of Dannemora, Village of Champlain, Town of Champlain, Town of Blackbrook, Dannemora, Allenburg, Chazy, and I'm expecting Ausable tomorrow. So.
These other land banks that have been successful, their area, they're probably a much larger area.
Not necessarily. No? There are actually some that are smaller than we are.
Yes.
And I looked at their models for funding, because everyone, the state, the nice thing is that the state does not come in and mandate what your rules are. We're looking at, in the beginning, certainly this for demolition and rehab, but you are also allowed to use it, let's say down the road, we're doing really well. You are allowed to use it for affordable housing, senior housing, economic development, and green space. But yes, there are counties that are smaller than us that use very different funding models. There's one that solely waits for every 4 or 5 years for the state to come in and give them a chunk of money, and that's what they do. Just so you know, another question that came up is, how are you going to staff this? In the first 2-3 years, we are looking at solely having volunteers, certainly the board. The board does not get paid. This is, you know, solely volunteer. That, you know, maybe one person will take the lead on, you know, finding the general contractors or whatever. We can hire people part-time. There's a lot of shared services that are allowed to happen. Like I said, it's a quasi-government, quasi-not-for-profit. So, for example, the county clerk can't charge us any fees for anything that we're doing, any recording that we're doing. The county owns or has their arrangement with Casella. So if we're demoing anything, we can certainly get the tipping fees waived for non-asbestos. There's a lot of things that can be done through shared services to save money. When we get to that point, yes, we certainly can hire a director if it's something we feel we need. There are some land banks that have zero paid staff, and there are other land banks much bigger than us that have a staff of 5 or 7.
I'm good.
Okay.
will make a motion to support.
You want to make a motion to support it? You want a second?
I'll make a motion to support the resolution.
Okay.
Resolution to support the Plain Mayor.
Okay.
Councilperson Paris?
Yes.
Councilperson Bowers?
Yes.
Supervisor Menard?
Yes. Okay, Carrie.
Awesome, thank you.
We'll get that in writing and off to you.
And again, if you, anyone wants to give me a call on, you know, what we're specifically looking for with the properties, I'd be happy to. And I will send you that information through Jeff's email.
I'd like to see some models.
Yeah, absolutely.
Larry, gentleman in the orange shirt behind, Larry Wolf's our assessor, so he'll probably be the one that make it up.
I spoke with you.
Yes.
I just have one question.
Sure.
Did I hear three houses per town, or was there no figure on how many houses? Because within walking distance of this building, there's three. Within walking distance that are uninhabited and have been that way for years. One that's been foreclosed on, and I see that it is now being, people are going in and out of the building. The foreclosure sign disappeared.
It's been condemned.
Yeah, well, they.
I condemned the house.
Yeah, the auction was back in June, they would have had it closed by July, so that's definitely possible. But no, what I was saying is, when everything is done, let's assume we have a land bank, that every municipality that is participating will submit what their top three worst properties or projects are, and the land bank directors will go through and choose, you know, which properties to work on. So, you know, year one, you may not make the property. We are discussing a provision in the bylaws that if the municipality pays in, let's say for 10 years, they stop paying in until they get a project done. The other thing I forgot to mention was also a cap. So let's say that the land bank is doing well. We're looking at putting up a cap either at $5, $8, $10 million, whatever number they decide on. Let's say we get lots of grants in 1 year. Whatever cap that is, let's say it's $8 million, if we hit that, no municipality pays in that year. So we don't want the land bank to be cash rich and then, you know, all of us having to pay in when they have plenty of resources.
So these people, they take from a big list of all the counties and towns of all New York State?
Like prior.
No, this is just us.
Just us, okay.
Yes.
And they filter it down and pick the worst.
The worst goes first, yeah.
The worst goes first, yes. Anything, especially that's designated, we need to make it.
Bring somebody down to wreck it.
Yeah. And like I also told the town of Shazzy, if you've been watching in the news, the Great Gables, I said, this will not fix that. You know, that's a multi-million dollar problem. I said, but the nice thing is that the town of Shazzy, the land bank, the county, and possibly the Regional Economic Development Council can all come in, work together, find a developer to come in, use some public-private money so that we can all put this money into the pool and whether they rehab that into apartments or storefront or whatever. But that's kind of exactly what it's made for. It's getting rid of zombie properties that are bringing your property values down and being
a. Is that historic? Site break rules.
That I know.
Because then you can't tear it back.
Right. And I think it's bones may be good, but it's very well. So, yeah.
All right, but anytime you have time, come up a day, I think you're going to have.
Absolutely. I'm a former assessor, so there you go. We have a lot to talk about. Thank you very much for
okay. Thank you.
Time.
Thank you. Good night. Okay. Everybody had a chance to read their minutes from last month's meeting? Any additions or deletions? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Second?
I wasn't here, so I guess.
Oh, I'll second it then.
Okay. Councilperson Paris?
Yes.
Councilperson Bowers?
I abstain. Those absent.
Supervisor Menard?
Yes. May have to be voting if somebody else comes. Okay. All right, Chris is not here. Well, let's jump to the library.
Okay, we've been very busy with our grants over the summer. You're aware of the big grant, and the main thing we have to do with that is the shelving. We're hoping to work with the schools on that in September. The Billy Jones grant, we finally heard from them. And we submitted some paperwork 2 Fridays ago. So we're hopeful that's going to go through as well. One we're probably most excited about right now is the Clinton County Tobacco Money Grant that we were using for the landscaping of the new library. And I don't know if you've had a chance to drive by the new library within the last week, but the landscaping is done. They did, at the last month's meeting, I mentioned we had 3 bids, and it turned out that Revenue Brothers had the lowest bid. And they also had the most topsoil that they were offering. And so we went with that bid. It was like a no-brainer. And I thought it'd be like a two-week project, a lot of work there. They did it in 3 days. They started Monday, a week ago. Last Wednesday, they were finished. They had already seeded it. Wednesday evening, the rain started, and the grass is coming up. So we're very pleased, very excited about that. I apologize a little bit for the way that it happened. We had like the end of March, we had like 5 days to get the grant in for the tobacco money. And we put in there that we would use the funds, part of the, you know, we'd use our funds, and part of it we'd use funds from the sale of the old library. And we didn't know that a week later it was going to come out of the paper and before we had a chance to talk to anybody. But we have the funds. Yeah, we can still do it. It would be very helpful if we could use the funds from the sale of the old library. That would help our construction account with this cash flow. But even without it, we'll survive. But it would really help if we could use that anyway. That's the main thing. If you get a chance, drive by. Look at that. I guess the other thing is, because we the original grant, we were going to put up a gazebo and all that, but they cut it $5,000, if you remember, because we had asked the county for $10,000, we got $5,000. And also, the money doesn't come, we've got to spend it, and they will reimburse it. That's the way. So now we have to look at the paperwork to show that we've done, you know, the landscaping, and hopefully they will reimburse us for that, the $5,000 that they had promised. And but our goal is over the next 2, 3, 4 years, we want to put up the trees. I did ask Doc Evans before we did it, and he kind of wanted the trees between the parking lot and his house, but everybody goes, all of the contractors, Lean and the Revenue Boys, and even Paul Hartley just said none of those trees were worth saving. They were poplar and box elder. So I talked to Doc Evans, and he said, well, if you put in nice maples, he said, you can take those down. It was actually on our side of the property anyway, but we wanted to ask him now. We knew he liked those trees. So we promised him we're going to put in some nice maples there and the other, between the parking lot and his property. But the rest of the property, over the next 2, 3, 4 years, we want to put in more nice trees. I think eventually we can get a gazebo in there. We want a community garden. It's in the works that we're hoping for. So but we're off to a very good start. I think the Revenue Brothers did a fantastic job. If you look at what they've done there, we're very pleased. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Art. Okay. Dog control. Got the report on dog control. Hadn't been too bad of a month.
No.
Good.
Kelly
good.
Said that there's more people coming in for licensing, so.
Yeah, good. Good deal.
We'll keep an eye on this one that I just gave you. Of the dog. I think I'm going to do
that. Okay. On the dog control, the county's given us a hard time on our dog control officer. And they're, The county law says that, the dog control officer has to have a high school diploma or a GED. And actually, when we hired Irving, they give us till June 17th to get it alleviated, and we did it. And the last payroll we sent through, they're not going to certify the payroll because, you know, he doesn't have a GED. I mean, our lawyer says, I mean, he's talked to him, he spent time over there and tried to get them to, waive this. I mean, actually, the Ag and Markets, who run the, dog control program, they don't require a GED or a diploma, but for some reason the county does, and they won't budge on it.
Change the law.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't hurt you.
But.
That's right.
You know, they say, she said either that or he has, 6 months of verifiable experience of running animals. I mean, the man's milked cows for years. He's had hunting dogs for years, but they.
How much more experience you want?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I guess our other solution is to put it in Stacy's name. They're both agreeable on that's not a problem, and it's the same family, and so.
We both do it now anyway, so.
Yeah. So, Stacy would be the dog control officer, and Irving would be your assistant, and just reverse the roles.
She does most of the work anyway.
Any motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Motion, okay. Motion by Dick to appoint as a dog, and then Irving as the assistant.
Oh, second that motion.
So now when you make the t-shirts, put boss, and then put Irving.
Boss and insubordinate?
We're all the same bone.
Councilperson Paris?
Yes.
Councilperson Bulris?
Yes.
Supervisor Menard?
Yes. Okay, carried. Thank you. Alrighty, so that's, anything else on dog control? We're good?
We're good.
Okay, alrighty.
Just a sidebar here on, the dog control thing. Now, Stacy's a new dog control officer. If Irving can assist her for 6 months now, does that give him 6 months of experience?
There you go.
He's already got 6 months of experience.
Yeah, I know.
We hired him in February. He's already got 6 months of experience. So, I can call the lawyer and say, hey, you can tell her down in the county that we got six months of experience. So, she can pound salt. Okay, beautification.
We had a meeting last week, and we're maybe in a few of the pots that haven't been watered. I got them up at my house, and I'm hoping to salvage them. I'll bring a couple down here, and hopefully they can water them right here in front.
The rain hasn't been helping, huh?
No, I've been babying them at home. Most of them are, but we've only really had like four, so that really went down.
Okay.
So that's not too much.
Nope, not bad.
We got a couple flags that kind of need to be looked at again because it's let go at the top and they're dragging down. There's a few down that are hooked up on the Warriors downtown, which I don't think a lot of the military would be happy with.
Yeah, don't.
And it's not our fault really, it's the things, so not that we have no control over that. We're gonna plan in September to check all the lighting and stuff for our Christmas decorations, our lighted ones, and make sure, see what we need to get.
Okay.
And we're hoping to change some of these, so we got to call NYSEC. I believe it's NYSEC we have to get a hold of.
Yeah.
To see if it's capable of being moved to move some of the boxes from and get it more in the main drag and stuff. And basically, I think that's just about what we have covered.
Okay.
We got a couple new members.
Good. Good deal. All right.
One other thing I've noticed so far. We didn't get the benches out on the sidewalks.
Yeah, she's
I see they put some down by the river.
I know some down there. Last year we had some along the sidewalk. People that were walking.
Were they up at the garage? Or?
Yeah, those are the ones that were on the sidewalks. Bruce put them down there instead.
Yeah, there's more of them.
And Bruce was working on them, but he hasn't been around. He hasn't put any more together. But Bruce was taking care of it. I don't know.
There were more than that together last year, though.
What do you mean?
Oh,
Winter five?
No, we had four, did four last year.
Yeah, because I thought we got like four or five more.
There are still in boxes.
Oh, not together yet.
Bruce came and started putting stuff together, and then he started mowing, and then he hasn't come back to put anymore together. I don't know what he got.
Okay.
I do want to mention how nice it looks down at the dam.
Very nice.
And I often see a lot of people making use of it, so.
There's been a lot of people down there.
And I did see floating, people floating in the river the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes, afloat, yes.
Alive?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Yeah, I noticed it when I was going across the bridge. I said, what about those people in the water? Haven't seen that in years.
As, I guess as long as we're talking about down at the dam, last week we had an incident down there where we had a fire on Saturday night, and they had a hard time getting water out of the pump house down here, and they found that there's a couple of big pieces of stick or whatever there, log or whatever in there. So Monday morning they went down and they opened a gate to drain it, and apparently things went on and they left and apparently drained too much, and somebody called DEC. And they just said, don't do it again. They wanted, I got sat down with the fire department and we came up with a protocol, because they want a protocol on the next time it's open. So we set a protocol that the fire chief is the only one that can open up the gate, and he has to stay there till it's closed back up. And once he determines when they're gonna open it, he notifies me, and then I notify DEC. So they'll know what's going on. Like you said, we kind of felt stupid because the river's draining and we don't know nothing about it. So we kind of got a protocol. But I also put in the letter that, we have a lot of issues with our water line, trees and stuff coming in. So he sent me back, I think I gave everybody a copy, but he sent me back in that maybe we can get together with DEC and the soil and water and figure out if we can do something to kind of alleviate that problem. So we don't have to keep opening up.
All the debris on the bottom?
Yeah.
Is there any way of welding an elbow and bringing the intake up a little bit, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, that's something we're looking at. He said we'll get together with the soil and water people and let them look
at
it.
Does anybody check out the Indians when they lowered it and opened their dam up there?
No.
There's that much water going through the river the other day. Yeah. The next day it's white
open. Yeah. But they don't chastise them. So, but he said there would be no fines. He just, we come up with a protocol and make sure it doesn't happen again. So that's that. Okay, that all you got, Skylar, on vacation?
Yep.
Okay, good, thank you. Mr. Assessor.
Peoples. A lot of construction going on. A lot of new houses are coming up.
What?
There's a repeater tower going up from AT&T, which is wholly taxable. There's no pilot program.
But our lawyer is checking into something about that.
About the fee
to put them up. I don't know, when we sent him the email saying that this is what's happening and stuff, and something kind of clicked in his head, said something's not right here. So
on the pilot program for the
on the cell tower going up.
Because
I think we had set like a $5,000 fee, and I think they had paid the fee, and he said hold on to that money because there's something not right with it, so he's checking on it.
AT&T. And he said it was AT&T.
I don't know if we're not allowed to do a fee or if the fee wasn't high enough. He really didn't say, but he's going to do his homework on it and figure out what everybody else.
Put more equipment on Larry Eschlein's repeated tower there.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Full amount of the equipment on that because we haven't touched them in years.
Yeah. Last year, the year before, they ended up putting another one up on the one off on the town road there, the highway garage road. They put another, and this when Jess was the code enforcement officer, he said that's what everybody was charging us, $5,000. So that's what we went with. So, but the lawyer's checking on it and to make sure everything is where it should be and before we go too far into
where's
it.
Where's the new tower going, sir?
I mean,
where are they moving the new tower?
I have to go in and look and see. It's on an open road. I think it's on the dead end road down there.
Over's dead end, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're putting another whole tower on.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were just putting. Oh, I thought they were just putting.
Brand new tower, not an existing tower, brand new.
Really?
They told me on paper that it's $150,000. That tends to be low, because that's high tech, and they keep on adding more and more.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what ground and landing is.
As you would think, you'd be able to assess them after they get it up.
Open pussy.
Okay. That it, Larry?
Yeah, as I said, the only thing is, Jeanette's place down here again, somebody tore the sign down.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Did you go down and look, did you?
They were in there, and they were cleaning it out because, what's his name, Robert James alongside?
And they were neighbor, William.
He said they were throwing the garbage in his yard in the back there. And he's not a well man, he doesn't need that.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Now, he's lived his whole life alongside him, he deserves a break.
Okay, well, just have Jason look up the paperwork and just get another sign up.
I give Jason a call.
And if they do it again, then we just call the state police, because they're trespassing.
Because if a building is condemned, I said I can't put the electricity back in.
No, it's condemned.
It's just condemned, that building.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been condemned a long time.
Right.
And I haven't seen anybody. It's gonna be the same thing on 11, right next to Bedard's farming place. Same people, same porch, same deck, same garage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have one question.
Yeah.
When is the home that burnt on the corner of Davison and Blackman going to be taken care of, because there's already been an accident?
Yeah, Jason's checking on that.
Jason sent them.
You cannot see when you come up from Route 11 to that first stop sign.
What?
And look down towards, back down towards the Route 11.
What's blocking it?
Trees.
Trees?
That they planted too close to the road.
Well, if they're too close to the road, then the county should take them down. That's a county road.
It is a county road?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Jeff, you can't
I'll
even
call.
Get them to take and cut the grass. How are you going to get them to cut the trees?
I know.
Steven's not with the veteran. She called me on tearing that house down.
They called you on tearing it down?
That's not
no,
that
she
accident.
Called me on it. I was the lowest bidder on it, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll make a phone call tomorrow to the county guy and see what I can get out of him. I didn't realize that that was the problem. I don't want to go that way, so. Michael.
Jeffrey, what's going to happen in that corner, in four corners up there? That guy parks on the sidewalk, and you cannot see, last week, they're parking that on this side of the sign. Something's going to, you're going to get a bad accident, and somebody's going to get hurt real bad. Mm-hmm. It's really been bad again. The ones are in the front, they're parking on the sidewalk. That's a sidewalk, it's not a...
Yeah. Well, the guy that owns it is a customs officer, and the state police won't do anything about it.
Mr. Monette had that, and the people always park on the other side of the step. Yeah. Why can't he park that? We tell the guy.
Yeah, he's been told many times. She got pissed off at me one day when I stopped and told her that. She said, oh, the guys in Moore's are all a bunch of funny ladies, you don't want to do nothing.
Mike, you said the woman that parks the cars there and owns the shop?
The one that's running the shop in front?
Okay.
That's parked in there.
She opened up a shop in Champlain too.
What is it, a different
road?
Is it a different person?
She opened up in arms about the same thing. She opened up a junk store, basically.
Somebody's going to get hurt bad.
Yes.
That's why the state went and put that sign there.
No, she's not.
Is there no parking sign there?
Yesterday she was parking.
Yeah, but not on the sidewalk.
There's one on both sides. But yesterday she was parked. Between the sign and the corner.
Yeah.
Where the arrow says don't park.
Between the telephone pole and,
on the sidewalk, between the sign and the corner.
They need to fit something there so they cannot park.
And last week it was the pickup truck on the around the corner. It was parked between the building from the sign to the corner. But you can tell it's on purpose. They're doing it because they're getting away with it. But you can't see either way when the vehicles are there.
Somebody should get after the owner who owns the building and tell him that, he's got to tell his people to, they got to park over. Never had any problem with Mr. Monette running the store. They were parked always over it. Now it's getting really attacked.
I just see if the state, will come down and bring two different big concrete bunkers out, put one on each side, and they can't work there. And you can still utilize the sidewalk.
Okay. I'll check it out. Okay. Youth Commission, Tyson, just to let everyone know, next week you're gonna start the walk around path over at the rec park. You got, that, Clinton County Health Department, we got, like a $6,800 grant from them to put toward that, yeah, $6,800. And, so these, wants to start it next week, Monday I think they're gonna start, so. That's gonna finally go in, been in the works for a couple of years.
Who's doing it?
The guy that gave him a price last year, I don't remember who it was.
I have a question on Youth Commission. The other day at my son's soccer practice, there was like four or six elderly people that come to watch their grandkids practice soccer. And all six of them had chairs over their shoulder, and all they could do was step over the chain and then stumble over to the side of the field, and they fumble around with their chairs to get it open. None of those fields have bleachers on them, none.
That's over at the rec park?
Over at the rec park, behind Jackson.
But what'd they sit in the bleachers?
What's that?
What'd they sit in the bleachers if you had them?
I would assume so. Every other soccer field, when
you
have away games, all the bleachers are full.
Well, there was bleachers over there.
There's only one little set.
There's like one little set at the farthest field there is.
At the baseball. Yeah, not the baseball.
Well, there's three or four, but I'm pretty sure the ones out back came from over there and then never went back.
Well, they should have went back. If that's where they came from, they should have went back.
They're still back there, but I mean, it's kind
of... I'll find out. That's where they come from. I know there was at least, when my kids played bingo, there was at least two or three, at least two or three over there.
Yeah, because we almost bore them for the track people.
Yeah, but they should have brought them back. I mean, it's been 2 months since Labor Day.
They've been back there since last Labor Day, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of, they got all they can do to walk to the field because most of the fields are way away from the parking lot. Let them carry a chair and set it up.
Now, what, do they have more than one team playing there? Why don't they use the bleachers?
Once there's games, there's always two teams. So there should at least be two bleachers, one for away, one for...
Right, but why don't they use the closer field?
But that's the one I'm talking about. There's no bleachers. And then there's a field after that one, now there's no bleachers. The only bleacher that's over there is on the farthest field away, and there's only one little set.
Yeah, and the problem with that is that
they're not cheap. And then when they have their soccer tournaments, there's quite a few teams.
Yeah, so when you have the soccer tournament there for the fundraiser, there's nothing.
Yeah. Well, we'll check into it, see what's going on with them. Okay. Historian, fire department. I got a fire department report here somewhere. Okay, fire department. For the month of July, they had 12 calls, one house fire, two motor vehicle accidents, two power lines, one grass brush fire, and two medical assists, and a trash trailer twice on fire. Submitted by Danny Dumas, fire chief.
Jeff, I'd like to thank the fire department for the invitation to the picnic for the town board.
You're welcome.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good day. Beautiful day. Okay. EMS. As far as I know, everything's good with the EMS. Court. We have July report. For the month of July, the court took in $11,988. $9,464 went to the state, $112 to the county, and $2,412 to the town of Moores. Okay, code enforcement. Jason's not here. Old business. Okay, took care of the land bank, took care of the dam. Dog control, took care of that. Okay, anybody got anything under old business? Walking path to there. Nothing? Okay, new business. Okay, on a new business, I was talking with the principal over here at the school, and he was wondering if it's the possibility to change School Street into a one-way street. He said there's a lot of confusion there when people are bringing the kids to school. Well, half of them try to turn around at the docks parking lot, and you know, just kind of a, he thought if it was a one-way, cars go one way and around, that would be. So I told him I'd bring it up, discuss it. I don't think we should do much till we do get a formal letter from the school board saying they would, you know, kind of wish that, but I don't know. We'd have to go through the state.
Yeah, the state controls speed limits. I was worried about one.
Right. Yeah, they would have the last say. Yeah, but you know, we can get the ball rolling if it's something they want to do and see what the state says. But like I said, I don't think we should do much till we get something from the town from the school.
I don't think the school themselves could do something in terms of, you know, telling parents when you bring your kids to school, would you come in from the east side and go west on the street when you drop your kids off rather than, I mean, I don't know, you're always going to get somebody that's not going to follow directions.
It's been like that for years.
Yeah, it's been like that forever.
What about the people living on that street? Do they want that?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you got people living there.
They probably have to check.
It'd solve a lot of problems if they were just put in a drop-off zone.
Well, that's coming down the pike, is they're going to have just one drop-off point.
That would solve a lot of problems.
So you're just like a home version, you're going to go one way and not one way.
Yeah. And
that's not on the street, that's off-street.
Off-street, yeah, right. Put a third lane in as a drop-off.
You go in this way and you got to come out that way.
Why are they turning around? All they do, got to go, just keep going.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, but some people go to Champlain, so they want to.
That's just about middle of the street, so if you turn around, they're still going.
I've been there a lot of places, and I've seen people all the way.
I said I'd bring it up, so we'll bring it up and we'll see, wait and see what the school says. If they want to dig into it deeper, we would need a letter from the board saying this is what they want.
How would that work for plow season?
I won't say anything.
Much like to be done.
You gotta go around the place.
So either all the snow's gonna go on the people who live on our road, or it's all gonna go on school sites.
More likely it's gonna be from east to west, so. So you're plowing all those school sites.
East to west.
That's all of them.
West to east.
West to east.
They'd have to go around and hit that twice.
Well, west is over here, east is that way.
Yeah.
You know, when I bring my grandkids,
then you get a letter from the school board putting snow on the sidewalk.
Well, I always come around the other way, east side, and go that way and let them off.
That's what he said.
The other direction.
If you go east to west, all the snow is going to be on the school.
Yeah.
Right.
See, part of the problem is people come from the west, pull over on the north side of the road to drop the kids off, so then they're coming cross traffic to get back out.
That's where they had to go in and have a drop off.
Yeah.
It could solve a lot of problems if you just had a trooper sit there for a weekend.
That's what needs to be done.
Kevin Trill retired.
Yeah.
Good luck in that.
Okay. You shouldn't be going across.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see what the school wants to do. I mean, I was just asked by the principal, so. I mean, he's just a principal, so. There's a. NYSEG is looking to get a rate hike, and they're having a hearing. If anybody wants to go and voice their opinion.
Is that because they're afraid of the solar powers coming in?
No, I don't know.
They want to make up the difference.
It's a pretty good hike too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
25% that I heard about.
It wasn't nickel and dime.
But it's tomorrow at the Keene Valley Library. So the Public Service Commission will hold a presentation at 1 p.m. in public hearing at 2 regarding NYSEG proposed electric and gas rate increases.
Certainly made it convenient for everyone to go at 1 o'clock and...
Yeah.
Keen Valley?
Get a couple hundred people there and maybe they'll get the idea.
They don't care, they're either gonna pay it or not on the power, so...
Yeah.
True.
Okay, anything else, on my list here?
It's a long one.
We, got a couple of new members on the zoning board. And they're both here tonight. I don't know if everybody knows, well, everybody knows Mike. But, Tim Never is the other new board member, right there. I've known Tim most of my life, so...
What's up, Dad?
A question. Do they have to be sworn in? Sworn in. Which is...
They probably will be. At one point in time.
Sworn in or sworn out?
Don't worry. I worked in the Department of Corrections 22 years. I got sworn out at all.
More than once, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, let's run down it. John was so nicely and typed it all up. Jesse LaValle will become an alternate from a full-time. Tony Roberts is good till the end of the year. Jane Hitchcock is good till the end of 2020. John Gordon till the end of 2021. Miranda Gravy is another alternate. She's good till 2022. Mike Denault is good till 2022, and then Tim Never is good till 2023. So I'll entertain a motion to accept this new Zoning Board of Appeals list.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Dick will second.
Councilperson Paris?
Yes.
Councilperson Bulris?
Yes.
Supervisor Menard?
Yes. Carried. Thank you. All right, now, Jason Poulin is our code enforcement officer. I just went through a month of hell trying to keep him his job. Again, the county, the way the laws read at the county, we still have one code enforcement officer at Mr. Dixon, because he hasn't formally resigned off the job. So they give us Jason's appointment till June 17th. And then we had to, so I figured we had to appoint him full time, which I did. But that's not the way it works. So our lawyer got involved and he spent hours over there at the county, and they will not budge a bit. What we had to do was we had to post the job through the county, which I did. I didn't want to, but I did, because we were breaking the law, so I did. And the way the law reads, if they get more than three candidates that's interested in the job, then we have to pick from that candidate, those candidates. But we went through the whole process, and then I couldn't see anybody wanting to drive, they're more likely than from Plattsburgh, drive up here for a $10,000 job. So we did it, and it went through. And we just got the letter back last week, and you guys got a copy of it all. We only had two people that were interested. So we were under the three. So that means Jason could keep his job. So what we need to do tonight is we need to reappoint him as permanent provisionary code enforcement officer. So now what that means now is if they have a test that comes up, Jason has to take the test. And he has to score within the top three to keep his job. But what our lawyer was telling us, that they're not going to do a test for just one person. So they're going to wait till they get a bunch before they do a test. So and maybe a year, maybe 2 years before they do a test. So since the beginning of the year, it just, I even went down there to the county and I spoke with this lady and everything's right by the book. She wasn't gonna budge. So that's why I got Matt involved, their lawyer involved, because I was just getting to the point where I was not real happy. So I had to leave. And I was ready to tell them, and I was about ready to go down and sit down with the legislators and say, who the hell's running this county? How are you able to tell us what we can do up here? If you want to pay for these jobs, then you can tell us what to do. We're paying, our taxpayers are paying their salary. We should be able to say who we can put in there. Bullshit. Same thing with Irving. Same thing with Irving.
Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm.
It just pisses me off.
Is that off the record?
Huh?
Is that off the record?
That's off the record.
You know, I have to say,
don't bring that out, Billy.
The county controls the payroll for the highway people.
Yeah, they control. Yeah. Well, our payroll we just did at the beginning of the month, they would not certify Irving's payroll because he wasn't qualified for the job.
So that means I'll get a bigger one.
will she get the back pay?
No, he got paid. He got paid. Okay. But what they're telling me is if it continues, then me as a supervisor would have to reimburse the town for what we paid him. So it all falls on me. So I ain't worried. I got big shoulders. So, but now what we have to do is we have to approve Jason as permanent provisional code enforcement officer for the town of Morris. I'll make a motion that we appoint Jason Poulin as our permanent provisional code enforcement officer.
So that's permanent until something happens.
Yeah. And I'm hoping once we wrap this thing up with Mr. Dixon, it'll all come out in the wash, hopefully. But until he's done whatever he wants to do, and because, I mean, and I'm sure he knows that as long as he's not given a resignation, there's nothing we can do. Not a damn thing we can do. So, but I made the motion. Well, here a second.
I'll second
the motion. Done.
Councilperson Paris?
Yes.
Councilperson Bulris?
Yes.
Supervisor Menard?
Yes. Carry.
Jesse still fighting it?
Yeah, he's suing. He's suing the town. So that's settled. Nothing's going to happen.
Is there a time frame that he's given to resign?
Nope. As far as the county is first, for 20 years he could still hang on to this job if he doesn't get a resignation. So it's asinine. It's truly, truly asinine. This man knows that he doesn't give a resignation, he's still going to be that job. So
he's not getting paid.
Not getting a penny.
He's just stirring.
But in the county's eyes, because he hasn't put in a resignation, he's still a code enforcement officer. So 20, 30 years down the road, if he never puts in a resignation, he's still going to be a code enforcement officer. Unless the judge says otherwise. And you go to court and the judge said, hey, it just makes no sense. I don't know how the county can have such a law. I really don't. They're damn lucky that they haven't got somebody like him that is not an employee anymore. Because, I mean, maybe I'm just stupid. I just don't understand it. But it just makes no sense whatsoever. Makes no sense.
And you can't go to the legislators?
Yeah. No, we spent, our lawyer spent, I don't know how much time over there on this crap, trying to get it straightened out.
And there's no time limit because he hasn't had the job. I mean, he's had the job, but he hasn't physically been at the job.
Yeah, the thing was there, I don't remember if it was a 3 or 4 year threshold. If you have the job for at least 3 years consecutively, the only way you can get rid of them is if you have a hearing in front of an administrative judge and you prove that they didn't do what they're supposed to do so you can get rid of them. But here we are in August, we let him go in January, he still hasn't asked for that hearing. Now, to me, if you knew that, that would be the first thing you ask for. I want a hearing. You have no right to get rid of me. I want a hearing. First word coming out of his mouth, I'm gonna sue you. And he did. He's looking for cash. And he knows how to play the game. And that's what he's doing. He's got a lawyer down in Albany that's right behind him. All the lies he's feeding them. You know, they may all go back to him. I'm sure somebody will go back and tell him, but I don't care. That's the truth. It's the friggin' truth.
Jason from doing his job now.
Nope. And Jason's doing a hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job. Ask Larry how many building permits he's seen the last 5 years he was here.
Captain Maloney and that figure's left over. With Jason, every time somebody comes in for a building permit or an occupancy permit, they tell him, just when you make a copy, make me a copy slipping under the door. Sometimes I can't even open the door to somebody. It's not bad.
I mean, that's how the system works. That's why we do building permits. So Larry knows who's adding on or who's building a new house. He can go out and reassess them. Well, if you haven't done them in the last 5 years, how do you know what's been re, you know? But according to him, he's been doing his job top notch. But that's here and there. Okay, so Jason, our union contract is done at the end of the year, so we need to set up a committee to start looking into that. I'm sure you probably don't want to. See how you're leaving, but it may run into next year. I don't know.
They usually do.
Yeah.
Well, if you want,
okay. All right. Don?
Why not? That's why the other two didn't show up tonight.
Well, one's out of fire, so.
Yeah, he's got a good excuse.
Yeah, he's got a good excuse.
Okay, we'll get started on that. Get things going. What else you got? Anybody got anything else? I didn't just run out of my list here. That's it for new business.
So in other words, if you're elected for something, you don't need a high school diploma or a GED?
Jason's one.
Only if you're appointed?
Jason's one.
No, I think elected too, you gotta have a...
No.
No, I don't think you do.
No, I don't understand that. Like, Chris running the highway, and he don't have either.
No. That was looked
at. And I'm just fooling with damn dogs, he's dealing with that all about.
Jason's one.
Your job's more important.
I know. It don't make sense.
What is the union? Like, is that just that's for town employees?
Town workers, yeah.
Or just for you guys?
I know. To highway. Highway.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just the highway.
Okay.
CSEA is the union.
So not just Chris, but anything elected, you know.
Yeah, Chris is not in the union. Just the workers. Also, before we go into public comment, I was hoping Chris would be here tonight. It's come to my attention that a lot of the trucks up at the garage are not inspected. And I was hoping he'd be here so I could question him on it. But
he's not here.
He's not. And another thing that comes to my attention is there's smoking going on in the building, which is illegal. And I've told him that before. I had a resident go up there and meet him there this winter, and she said it didn't all smell of smoke in there. New York State's got a law that says it's illegal to smoke in a public building. So, and as far as our trucks being inspected, I don't know. I hope our town workers refuse to drive them, because if something happened, you guys are responsible. If there's an accident happened or you get stopped by the police, you guys are getting a ticket, not the towns. Whoever gets behind that wheel is responsible for that truck they drive, that vehicle they drive. So, and I'll catch up with Chris tomorrow, and I'll let him again and get the damn things inspected. If our friggin' insurance company finds out that these things aren't inspected, they'll probably drop us, and then we'll never get insurance again. It's bullshit. I mean, it friggin' pisses me off. I mean, he's got a job to do. We need to do it. He's getting damn good money. Fucking A.
Is it because they're not gonna pass? Are they?
Well, that's what I hear. You don't want to spend money to get them fixed up. They should be fixed up anyways.
We got a mechanic up there.
He's got a top-notch mechanic up there, and I know him. He's good.
That whole truck should be able to be inspected without a problem.
Yeah, but doesn't the truck driver have to check off a checklist before you get?
Well, they should. They should. Make sure it's inspected.
Isn't there a checklist?
Well, I know we have to before we get on our bus. And obviously, if you drive your bus every day, you know it's inspected.
Right. And same thing with them guys. They drive their truck, especially in wintertime, they drive it every day.
Well, you have to do it. Well, you're right.
But I mean, if they're checking, they could get in as much trouble.
Well, yeah, they're responsible for it. When you drive the vehicle, you're responsible for the vehicle you're driving, whether you're ordering or somebody else. They're responsible for it.
If they complain about the inspection and he does nothing about it, then they got a right not to drive.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the driver is the one responsible.
Right, he don't have to drive it.
But for instance, if I borrow your car and it's not inspected and I get a ticket, that's my responsibility, it's not yours.
The ticket's gonna be in his name. Whoever had the driver's license behind the wheel. Whoever carrying the driver's license driving behind the wheel. They're gonna get the ticket. Jim?
Yeah, what's the progress on the tarmac? I was gonna ask Chris, but he's not here tonight.
From what I hear, did what, up Culligan Road?
Yeah, we finished up Culligan today, it's ready for pavement. The section we're doing on Lamerton Road is ready for pavement.
Lamerton Road's next.
And after tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Thursday, Bozer will be ready for pavement.
So you're doing Lamerton and Bozer Road?
There's a section on Lamerton and Culligan Road, and Bozer Road is getting done.
Now, all of Lamerton Road or just Davison?
From 11 to the big bridge.
Where they just put the new bridge in?
Where they put that new bridge in, mm-hmm. From Lamerton, or from 11 to that.
Okay. Supposed to have done Misa and the Nephew Road last summer, a year ago. At least up to the Sawmill, that is bad. There's a good many spots. Take a ride up there and look at it. Good many spots. You know, it's dirt.
Oh yeah, they're all bad. Those are on the big thing with those is those two roads are on the list for if the windmills come. So it doesn't pay to put a new road in and have them come in and just.
Yeah, the side road ain't nothing. The troopers only right. Sit there.
Right, but I mean, you still got to keep them up, you know, still drivable. It may be another couple of years before we get windmills.
Just got a letter, got a thing yesterday for the windmill. So I'm supposedly getting one. And he just submitted the
application. Another bid to get them in. And usually find out by October.
So. Because it don't matter what we could, no matter what road we pave, someone's not going to be happy if the road gets it. Oh, yeah. Every road in the town except for four needs it. So there's nothing to be pleased.
As long as they're getting paid, that's the main thing.
There's going to be a couple getting it this year.
Okay. But he needs to get, I'll call him in the morning and let him know, but he needs to get. Need to get the trucks inspected.
I'm lower.
It's.
I was actually told today by somebody, I can't say, but if we're told to get in that truck, it becomes his problem, not ours, if something happens.
No.
Nope. The driver.
Driver. Believe me. 17 years as a judge, I've had people come in here and said the same thing. That wasn't my truck. That wasn't my car. You were driving it. Your license. When you hand that trooper your license, you're driving it, you're gonna get the ticket. And if you refuse to do it, if it's not up to par, there's nothing he can do. He can write you up all he wants. It's illegal. The truck is illegal to go on the road.
So if they'll walk in and turn on and say we're not driving anything until it's inspected?
Yep, nothing he can do.
What do we do when he tells us to go home?
Tell you to go home. Go home then.
Are
you
paid for the day?
Yep.
He's going home tomorrow.
Well, I don't want to go without a paycheck either, so I need
to. But I'd call your union rep too. That's what they're for too. That's why you pay your dues every week. Mm-hmm. To back you.
What's he going to do?
No, I mean, and I'm telling you, as town supervisor and as a former judge, you guys are responsible behind that wheel.
Do you have to go to Plattsburgh to be inspected, or?
Champlain, Peterbilt, was it?
Peterbilt,
all right. I don't know where else. I mean, sure, there's other places
there's
around.
There's a lot of places.
Charlie Boyson.
Yeah.
A lot of it's in Plattsburgh.
Yeah, a lot of
Plattsburgh. 20 miles, 22 miles.
Integrity?
Okay. All right. Well, any other comments?
What about the Garen Road?
I haven't heard anything. We're still.
Shouldn't we be hearing it before
the,
we
The new sheriff on patrol is supposed to be paying him a visit, whether he did or not. I don't know. I got to check. The last thing Jason checked, They got a new, some Bayshard fellow, I think it's a new garbage guy, I guess you want to call him.
Warren retired.
Yeah, it's a Bayshard, his last name is Bayshard, I'm not sure what his first name is, but he's taken over and he was supposed to pay him a visit, on the guy up on Route 11 to react.
Because both of them are bookends.
Yeah, they're getting worse by the day.
Especially in 11.
11 is terrible.
And also, supposedly, they parked a camper out by the road too.
Another thing, Jeff, I don't blame none of the guys that's working at down low. I don't understand why he starts a job on one road and just leaves it and goes to another. Just jump here and jump there.
Well, two years ago, started the garret or the...
I don't know if you're masked anywhere.
Yeah, oh yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, my road's a mess right now, so.
I think I talked to him last week, I don't think he got that saw yet either.
Yeah, it just came in Friday.
Did it come in Friday?
Yeah, it came in Friday afternoon.
Okay, all right, good.
I'm assuming as soon as we're done, as soon as we get the paving done, that'll probably be...
Yeah, there's definitely some roads needed. That saw they bought, they want the loader there.
Cut the roadside?
Cut the roadside.
The trees?
Yeah.
Ready for phone calls there too. People won't like that.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah, I had to hook it up to get it off the truck, but then I over tested it, it's pretty slick.
And now, were they cutting the side of the road on the Eddie Road too?
Yeah.
Somebody said that...
I guess Colorado.
That's the Todd View.
That's Todd View.
Doing the side, the roadside though, right?
Yeah, but I think he's doing it for Lamerton, I believe.
Oh yeah?
I don't know, I don't think he's doing it for us.
Oh, you don't know for you guys?
You're wrong.
I just heard he was up there cutting.
Yeah, I don't know, he doesn't tell us.
He went around the cornfield too by Sonny and Joe all through here, cut that way down the road.
Did he?
Chipped it last week.
And he does it for free, just to take the wood.
Well, he could spend all summer in the town getting free wood.
So seeing how we're talking about this, you see in the side of the road, what are we doing with that, with ours? What can we do with that so somebody doesn't go off that this winter?
And I've got this more than once.
That's
everybody thinks that the town board regulates the highway superintendent. There's nothing we can do with him.
No.
Nothing. He's an elected official.
I think the only thing you can do is control his budget.
Right. The only thing we can do is control how much money we give him. We can tell him, we've told him. But
it's just like the guys just working, they can't do nothing. They only do is their job.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned, honestly, and I told you that before, that I'm just really concerned that somebody's going to go off that this winter. Yeah. Because when you pull over, when another car's coming, people do, that's what they do, they pull over.
What ain't that?
The ones that don't know, there are two pull-offs, but people that don't know that, like that guy that Jeep that did go off last winter.
I take tobacco to get them out. That's reported.
And that's where I'm going to draw the line is where the vehicles aren't, they're breaking the law. In a whole bunch of ways, it's going to screw the town. I mean, if we lose our insurance company, they find out that they took our insurance away because we haven't got our vehicles around the stuff, we're never going to get insurance again. And then we're going to be screwed. It's just asinine. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. I really don't. I don't know.
No, because the town gets sued. The ditches are supposed to be a 1-4 pitch to be legal, right? Mm-hmm. Not 4 or 5 feet deep, straight down. Mm-hmm.
Is it every truck or is it just a couple of trucks?
I heard it was a few of them.
There's only three that are there.
Three that are
there? The third one got inspected last night.
The older trucks, sir?
No, he did the brand new one. He had that done last night. Or Monday night. Yeah, last night in Popford. And the camouflage military truck is done, and I believe the Peterbilt might be done.
That's three. Three of them are done.
There's three or four other plow trucks and the two little red trucks. And the two little red trucks aren't going to pass inspection. Not even.
I should be driving them then.
Not even close.
He'll be driving. Okay. All right. Any more questions? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Dick?
So moved.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you, everybody.
Get it in.